Yo, yo, yo!
Hello, Craig.
What's up, Shahan? What's going on?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, my gosh. We're laughing, folks. We got lots of fun in the pre-funk today. Only if we could have an R-rated slash, I guess.
Our viewership.
If you could hear us prior to jumping on here, you guys would be like, what in the world? But anyways, we are back. Two Misfits and a Carpenter back at you.
Yeah.
And it's starting to get a little hot in the desert, bro.
Yeah, first day over 90.
Yeah.
Which, I'll be honest with you, that's pretty late.
It is.
We've been under what our average has been by quite a bit.
The most rain we've had in 25 years, I've said. So, I've been digging it. But I am looking forward to getting back to Montana here for a little while anyway. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But, so crazy week. In our little pre-funk, we're talking about all kinds of stuff. But, we wanted to chat a little bit about kind of the things in life that stir you up, the things in life that shake you, if you will. And so I've had a very interesting few days, and I have been shaken a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And embarrassed to say, well, not embarrassed, but just, it's just life is so crazy. We talk about this stuff all the time as far as our faith, as far as trying to, you know, really hold tightly to the gospel, remember all the things. And we also talk a lot about how often we need to be reminded. And I tell you, folks, I am probably worse than all of you at that. Maybe that's why I'm trying to talk about it so much, is I get shaken easily. And this week I talked to you guys a little bit more about some of the house projects that I do and some of the stuff. Sean does some real estate as well. And a couple episodes I talked about going under contract and how the house wasn't going to go and how I felt maybe I didn't do something right, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, folks, the house has been under contract for about 20 days. And last night, they pulled out.
Yep.
Yeah, all of a sudden, bam, we're not interested in the house. They're Christian folks, and they had prayed about it, were losing sleep over it, and decided that it wasn't the home for them. So what's Craig's initial reaction? So again, this house hasn't even hit the market or didn't even hit the market yet. But instead of thinking about, wow, it's a great product and maybe this couple was overextended and they prayed about it and felt about it and it just wasn't the right move for them. No, folks, that's not Craig's first reaction to this. My first reaction is, oh my gosh, what did I do, God? What caused this to happen? Obviously, I must have sinned. I must have did the wrong thing. I must have did something to upset you. And now the blessings have ceased. And I'm not going to, oh my gosh, like maybe it's not going to sell at all. Now I'm going to have to sit. I mean, complete faithlessness, Shahan. It's like not a little bit, but it goes like, I'm up last night just sitting there like, man, like I just don't know what I did, God. Like, what did I do? Now, can you imagine, folks, all the people out there that are actually going through real things in their lives with cancer and maybe some death in their family and sickness and going through this? And I revert right back to the old Craig, which is like just not much faith at all, Sean. That's my initial reaction. So now, wasn't very happy with myself trying to, you know, this morning, just trying to, you know, obviously think about faith and hope and all the things that I believe in. But why is it that I revert so quickly to everything that I talk about on this podcast?
Yeah. Well, you're a sinner. That's it. I know a lot of Christians have a hard time admitting that. Well, I'm righteous now, and you are. But we have the old Adam, and we have the law written on our heart, and we know we can't keep the law, so we revert to trying to appease a God that doesn't exist. So, and the other thing I can tell you, by being in real estate almost 30 years, is this is just real estate, baby. This is a Tuesday for me, you know? I mean, it's like, and it's hard, though, because a lot of times you look at it, and sometimes we wrap our identity in what we do. And it's not so much being successful that way, but because we're sinners, because we want people to like us, when you know, and we love winners, right? Mm-hmm. And we failed. But we didn't fail. It was a house fell out of, you know, here's what we got going. It's so easy to revert back to, you forget every promise God has for you. You forget, you question whether he loves you. He's mad. All the things you know that's not true when you're in Christ. You know what is really interesting when we were talking about this, and Craig was telling me, he says, man, he's obviously losing the deals, upsetting. But it's going to sell. It's going to be all right. He's got a good product from what we know in a horizontal thing. But what I thought was really interesting talking to you, Craig, this morning was that you were focusing more on your reaction to it than the actual, you know, the actual failed contract, is that you reverted so back. I remember, and I asked you this question years ago, if this would have happened, I don't know if you would have recognized that. And, you know, God uses a lot of things to reconcile us, keep us close to him. You knew a little bit, we talked about it, and you talked about it a little bit on the past podcast. There's something that's like, yeah, I think it'll be okay, but there's something you felt that was a little off on it, and there's a chance it was going to fail. I've had those feelings. I have one right now with the deal I got going. But it's like, okay, well, I really need this, really need this. It's like, well, it's going to be okay. And I think God uses things to be able to remind us, just like you were reminded. That's why you were lamenting the way you responded, because you know it's not biblically accurate. You know that's not what how it is when you're in Christ. Tolin Chavijan said something that I've always taken to heart. And he said, sometimes God doesn't allow you to have certain desires of your heart because he knows they'll destroy you. Now, whether that's destroy you little or big. And sometimes things don't work out, because if they always worked out, we don't need to trust God very much. You know, sure. We just trust our own abilities, which is the epitome of sin. right? So God uses every little thing in our life to be able to have our focus on him. And there he reminds us of his loving, his kindness, his faithfulness to us, that he'll never leave us or forsake us. And that's what's really important. The rest of this stuff's details, right?
Right.
It's how we, you know, we eat, we have shelter, we drive something until God takes us to our real home. These are just details. Nobody really cares about them anyway. I mean, everybody's so wrapped up in their own little world. And frankly, everybody that I know is hurting right now, hurting greatly because of what's happening with our economy, and it's affecting relationships. A lot of people are having health issues right now that I know, more than it's ever been. And you kind of come back to a spot of, you know, I'm his. He loves me. He's never going to leave me or forsake me. He's going to provide for me. It may not be how it's been in the past, may not be those things, but it's going to be okay, because I trust that he loves me and that I'm his child, and I am who he says I am, not who others people say or even I say.
Amen.
So I was real, real happy. And so we asked, okay, if something good happens, that's a blessing. Something bad, I'm cursed. I think we have to define blessing.
Well, we do. And I think that's a good point. I think what ends up shaking you? You know, what is the things that bring you in your life to have those moments? And I think it does boil down to our interpretation of God again. And I know it's my knee jerk. Obviously, it was last night and this morning, is that we constantly try this to be, you know, I'm close to God, good things will happen. I'm far from God, bad things will happen. And it's religion is what it is. I mean, that's really what all religions are boiled down to. That's what everybody, you know, wants to. In and out, we're so into prosperity preaching again. That's huge in the United States.
And Africa and yeah, a lot of
yeah.
places.
And yeah. It's, you know, again, that's the whole basis is, okay, if I give, then I got to get. So how am I going to get from God? Well, I have to give. Well, then if I give, then I'm blessed. And so now I'm waiting for the blessing. I'm waiting for the blessing. Like I remember a good friend of mine, we were in the gym business together, and he was into this prosperity preaching. And I remember he went to a conference, huge conference, and came back, and he's like, bro, wait till you see what happens. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, wait till you see what happens to this gym and this business. And I said, well, what's going to happen? He's like, well, we're just going to start getting blessed immensely. And I said, oh, okay. Talk to me. What's happening? Well, I went to this conference. You know, I gave money. I talked to the people. And now we were in expectation of this blessing. Like, we're going to start seeing things really start happening. Now, that's the thing, right? So what happens in a few months when that blessing doesn't come? Well, maybe God didn't hear me. Maybe I didn't give enough. Maybe I didn't do enough. Maybe, and again, we try, like we talk about this ladder, we try to climb it up towards God constantly to try and get closer. Why? Well, so that I have a better life, so that I'm in good health, so that I have blessings, so that he hears my prayers. Well, then we boil back down to what happens, folks, when things don't go the way that you have them planned. Well, we immediately go back to that. Well, then when God must, there must be some sort of, something's wrong. Something happened and it's amiss now and we're not close. We're not tight. And I mean, when you really boil it down, it's crazy that it's almost like this kind of pre-loaded way that we all are out of the gates. And maybe it's from our upbringing, maybe it's from how much religion we get pushed into or whatever the case is or how many different things. But for me, my initial response was unfortunately exactly that last night. It was immediately I must have done something wrong for this to happen. And that's just, it's not it. Now, it's the same thing when Adam and Eve, when we go back to the garden, you know, what do? They hid. You know, they immediately, when sin entered their lives, they knew that there was fear. It was fear-based. It was, yeah. I did something wrong. Like, I'm not right. I got to go do. And I think for all of us, it's just this thing that we have in us that we have to remind ourselves that God doesn't work like that. Well, then no. The question is, well, then I got this week from, well, then how does God work? If that's not how he works, then how does he work? I mean, this is, because really, when you boil it down, I think a lot of people have that question. Well, if that's not the case, Sean or Craig, then how do I get in his good graces?
You don't. He gets in yours. I mean, he comes to you. You know, that's why it's a cross and not a ladder. And that's why God always comes down to us. Tower of Babel, you knock that crap right out. Because this isn't about you, Christian. It's never been about you. It's always been about the Christ. So I think what happens is, you know, Jesus said those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who want to lose their life will keep it. You have to die. Die to what? All this nonsense. Amen. That this is about you. This is why Luther says that when we concentrate on the law and our sin and so forth, it turns us inward. Okay, and salvation is outside of us. So this is all just details. I mean, we're here on our best day, maybe 75, 80 years. Okay, maybe.
Right.
Okay. And we constantly try to get and do all these things and try to have a nice life. We're not going to have a nice life. We're in a sinful world. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. It's not karma. It's not anything. It's just a simple world. It's broken. And all the people are broken, and the earth is broken, groaning to be made right again. And I think the focus comes down to is how God operates is he's a holy God who comes to a whore of a people who rejects him, and he saves them anyway. Amen. So our blessings that we have isn't necessarily a car we drive or a house we have. It's just a product of working in a sinful world, doing our sinful jobs very sinfully and trying to make a living, but it's so temporary. And God says, you know, sell all that and follow me. Because the thing that's more important is that it's not the things of the world. You know, that's Jesus said, you know, my kingdom isn't of this world. And I think we have to realign ourselves. And I saw that happen with you, Craig. I mean, you turn around, you said, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to take that thought captive. And that's like, well, I don't want to have those thoughts anymore, God.
Right.
These are communications you're having with your Holy Father who says, I understand that. And when you're in Christ, he does not condemn you because of those. This is called growth. This is going right back, taking that thought captive, because we're going to have that. This is part of the things that Paul says, to discipline yourself. you know, it isn't trying to be moral or anything. The more you try, the worse it gets, because the letter of the law is death. But we try to focus on being this perfect person, and God is like, there's only one, and you're in my son, and now you're perfect, but you're not perfect. Amen. We need to recognize that. We need to understand that, and we need to remind others where there is righteousness, where there is perfection, where there is love, where there is no karma, and there is no, you know, the only conditionality that God has is that you believe. And by the way, you can't even do that without him.
Well, so, you nailed it on the growth, and I think that's it, Shane. I mean, I really do. That's the big thing in for all of us. And you know, it's trying to figure out, even in a situation like this, is pulling yourself out of it and saying, okay, I'm being reminded that I need God in these situations. Again, I need to remember, even if it's a little test just in my faith, to remember what it's all about.
And the true blessing. The blessing isn't something we drive or something.
Right.
The true blessing is I have Christ.
Right.
And that is my blessing. Yeah. The rest of this stuff is details for reminding me of Christ, trusting him more, having faith in the trust of his promises. That's really what that is all about. Now,
and we're speaking to the people out there that have gone through these kinds of things on a daily basis, and it couldn't be a small thing like mine, or it couldn't be a really major thing. Mm-hmm. You know, major things that are going on in your life right now, whether it's a bad breakup or a death in the family or a diagnosis or, you know, some things.
Or a failing business.
Yeah,
or,
financially. Yeah. You know, you're going through all this stuff and you're going, where is God? Like, where are you, God? Like, why is this happening to me? And I know that's my big thing, like we talked about it before, from a friend of mine who's a paraplegic to people who are maybe failing in business to seeing different people in different stages of life. I mean, one of my best friends right now is, you know, he's got the most aggressive form of brain cancer in the world. Mm-hmm. And seeing him, who hardly can remember my name right now, it's those people that, you know, when I see him and pray with him and want to be close to him, is just going, man, I wonder what he's thinking about God. I wonder what he's thinking when he sees his children and his wife and his grandkids and his time is so limited, and he's saying, like, why me, God? Like, why is this happening to me? And having to go through these same kinds of things to know that his blessings and his quote-unquote curse, if you will, it's not as if God has done this to him. It's that he's getting through it with God. And I think so often, and especially in the olden days, but so often even now, we see our lives, well, at least I'm good. At least everything's good with me. I mean, I must have favor with God. I must be in the right graces of God. Like, things are going well. And then it's just not what it's about, Sean.
No.
And it's what people think. It's what the world thinks.
And the truth is, God doesn't owe anybody anything. He doesn't owe me anything. And every morning I wake up with grace, because I woke up and there's air coming through my lungs, and I can't do that. God provides that. And I just think that people think, well, if I do these things, God will bless me in a financial way, or, you know, I'll have great relationships, or whatever. My business will be great. Or he doesn't owe you anything. You can do everything right. I mean, there's pagans out there that are multi-billionaires and mock God. Okay? So why? Why? We're in a simple world, and that's not what it's about.
Amen.
You know, in this world, you will have troubles. That's a promise. That's not an if. Okay? You will have problems. But take heed, Christian, for I have overcome the world, Jesus said.
Amen.
And I think we have to look at that perspective that, hey, look, this is just life. I have a saying. This is just life. Can't take it too seriously. Okay? And I don't mean it. Life is very important. God thinks very much about life. But what I'm saying is, our life, Sean's life, don't take it so seriously. Okay, I have the true God who died for me, gave me his blood that covers me. I am forgiven. I'm in like Flynn. What's the worst that can happen to me? It's going to be okay. Does that mean just sit back? No, I'm going to do what God has in store for Sean today. I'm going to go out. I'm going to look at properties. I'm going to try to do something. I'm going to try to create something, to be able to bring food in, to take care of my family and do those things. But if things don't work out today, I know God loves me. He's not disciplining me. He's not doing those things because of something I did. I think God does discipline us in a certain way. But the whole reason isn't to, you know, curse you or be upset with you or spank you. It's to have your eyes back on Jesus, where there's peace, there's love, there's joy. I remember when Jesus was in the tabernacle and he was kind of yelling at the Pharisees. He says, you hold to the letter of the law, but you miss its meaning, love, joy, forgiveness, peace. And I think what happens a little bit, and part of our karma thinking comes from this philosophy in American Christianity, that somehow we have to prove our salvation to others around us, okay, by our performance. And I think that comes from that. Well, how we know they're a Christian is because your life will radically change. Well, maybe it won't radically change. Okay, now I think there's different time frames. God's in control of my salvation and my sanctification. Okay, so I think that leads to this thing of trying to perform, be, you know, stiff and all those things, because that way God won't do those things. And I think he's going to discipline you anyway. No, you know.
Well, and it boils down to, I think, what the definition of following Jesus is about. The definition, if you will, of Christianity. Yep. And I think, why are you in this, I guess, is the question. And I think sometimes when life beats you up and you get to your, you know, bottom, you've done everything else and it doesn't fill you up, sometimes the impression is that, well, if I go with God, then, you know, again, blessings are going to start happening and really great things. And those can happen, for sure. I mean, you know, whether in any shape, form, whatever it is. But the reality of it is that we get in this because we're lost. You know, we get in this because we're sinful people in need of a Savior. That's, like you said, God doesn't owe me anything, because that has been the ultimate gift. That's the one thing that has been given to us that, like you said, Sean, what's the worst that can happen? Because I have that, which is everything. But what happens in our lives is, you know, it's like, okay, God, like, what's the story with this? Like, why didn't you help me out with that? Like, why didn't you intersect for this? I mean, why am I going through this breakup? Why is this business failing? I mean, I thought things were going to be good with you. Like, I thought this was going to happen. And we go through this, and when we really boil it down, it's like, I mean, we've won the lottery. Like, we've won everything, because we were once lost and we're now found. Because we're guaranteed this. Me and my dad, he was in town this week, and we were chatting, and we always go back and forth, because he was born and raised Catholic, and it's we talk about in and out, you know, being in and being out, and we've had many conversations about this, and now we kind of joke about it, because he really is starting to understand that you're in and there is no out. And we were talking this weekend, and I said, can you imagine if you were sick, Dad? Let's say you were really, really sick. Let's say you had a terminal disease, and I had the cure. I had this little pill. And if I gave you that pill, it cured your terminal disease. Forever, it cured it. Now, if I gave you that pill, Dad, and you took it, and you were forever cured of that, why would you continue to live on a day-to-day basis wondering if you were sick again? So I think I'm sick today. I'm just not feeling, I'm back to being sick. I think I got the terminal again. I think it's back. No, actually, I gave you that pill, and it's not back. No, I think it's back, because I feel this and this and this and this. And every day, you imagine what I would think as the guy that gave you the pill. I'd be like, holy cow, dude, you're not sick. You're actually been healed forever. It's never coming back in your life. Forever you're good. But we do that with God, and we do that in our lives. We constantly think, oh my gosh, you know, I'm no good again. I'm out, I'm in. And the reality of it is that we have this forgiveness in Christ, which is the ultimate thing that any of us could ever, ever, ever get in this whole world. But yet, Craig's house, you know, it goes out of contract, and immediately my response is
going back to the old
Adam. Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, something like, come on, God. Like, really? Like, I mean, what did I do? I should be having this instead of, like, look at my life and right. look at everything that's been done for me.
You know what's even worse than taking that pill that heals you and then wondering if it's going to come back? It's questioning the validity of the pill.
Amen.
It really worked. You know, well, you know, am I good enough to take the pill? Am I going to be feeling good enough afterward to know that the pill worked? And it's always based on us. So our focus is always based on our performance, which, by the way, on our best day, it deserves a pardon, instead of trusting in the pill, which is the blood of Christ.
Amen.
So if we have every spiritual blessing in Christ, Paul says, and the rest of this, guys, and God does not dismiss them or take them lightly. Every little part of our life he takes very seriously, because we're his children. Just like if you had children, you take every part of their life very seriously because you love them. And he wants what's best for us. And he desires to give us the kingdom. But we need to make sure we have the right definition of what a blessing is, what the kingdom is. And I think we can put our perspective back. And part of that is having a community of believers that you can come to and say, man, I'm struggling with this, and not being judged with that because, yeah, me too. So let's go back to the cross. Okay, let's remind ourselves all the spiritual blessings and promises he's given us. And it's like, yeah, that's right. That's right. So what we're trying to do is help one another take those thoughts captives, because they're not from Christ. They're from our flesh, our old Adam. And we can realign ourselves so our focus is back on Calvary. And that is why, that's what church is supposed to be for. It's not to remind us, you know, why you're doubting the pill and maybe you need to, you know, have a better attitude. It's like, my attitude sucks. And yes, give me some hope in the pill again. Remind me the greatness. Give me the blood and the body. I need the nourishment. I need the reminder. I need the realignment of living in the world for a week.
Amen. So yes, if you're, whatever shakes you, you know, whatever has got you in a place this week, this month, this year, that you're feeling a little bit of that same way where, you know, where are you, God? Like, why is my life in this place? Or I'm turning, you know, whatever the case might be. I think just like we're talking about, there's blessing in that. There's blessing in that because, again, you can go back to finding out really truly that it's not those things that need to shake you, because you're in Christ. And if for some reason you're not as of yet, then it's time to do that. You know, it's time to take on the gift that is the ultimate, to win the lottery, to take the pill to cure all the disease for once and for all for your soul. And you know, and again, it's amazing, this life. It's great to have brothers. It's great to have people in your life that you can speak this to, that can encourage you, because we all, no matter if it's yep. tattooed on your arm or on your forehead, or whether you're at church every day, things in this life, you know, they continually are going to push you back into that old way of thinking and that old way of life. And it's so important for us to encourage each other in Christ and to have, you know, am I going to walk out of here today and not think about this and be like, oh, right, yeah. I mean, of course not. Yeah. I mean, I've still got it. I'm still going to be, I'm going to be up, and then I'm going to be like, what the heck? And then I'm going to have to remind myself all over again. But I think having people and again, reminding ourselves who we are in Christ right. is just so important. So
absolutely.
We, I think that's about it for today, Shahan.
Okay.
Shahan.
That's right. Here? I've been called way worse than before I even walked in. So,
well, we love you guys. Have an amazing week, and we'll see you soon.
You bet. You are loved. Peace.